Well, good Monday morning. Thank you for joining us today on Tetelestai, where we celebrate the finished work of Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 12 is a beautiful passage. It is part of the final messages, basically, that Jesus is giving to his disciples the night before he is going to be crucified. They have, and they are in the midst of celebrating the Passover meal. And Jesus is giving them insight and understanding as best he can and as much as they can handle prior to him going to the cross. And he's giving them instructions about his leaving. He's talking about preparing a place for them. He's talking to them especially about the Comforter, the one who is going to come, the Holy Spirit, who is going to indwell them. And he uses a term, especially in John 15, where he is talking about vines and branches, and he's the true vine and we're branches, and he uses a term, and that term is abide. And it's a term that's used a great deal in the New Testament, especially by the Apostle John. John brings it up here in his gospel. He also talks about it in his first letter a great deal. And it's a very significant word, and it's a very important state or condition that we are to be in our relationship with Christ. Now, John 15, 1 through 12, we're going to spend this week talking about this whole concept of joyfully abiding in Jesus. And John 15, 1 says, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already pruned clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Remain in me. And notice the word has pruning power. And this is what Jesus said. It cuts the unnecessary things out of our lives. Remain, or literally abide, in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine or abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide or remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who remains or abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's thrown away or thrown out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them, throw them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it will be done for you. In this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. Just as the Father's loved me, I also have loved you. Abide, remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, I've spoken these things to you, that you, or that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. What does Jesus mean when he talks about abiding in him? Well, this is not a request on the part of Jesus. The mood, basically, of the language here in the Greek is an imperative command. This is not a suggestion. Jesus is commanding this, much like what Paul said, that God now is commanding all men everywhere to repent. This is a command, like a military command. It's an order. But is this us abiding day by day in our own strength, our own power, our own effort? Or is it a choice that we're making every day to try to do this? Or is it something else? I mean, is abiding up to us? Now, to understand this whole idea of abiding, the word itself, it simply means to dwell in, or to be at home in, remaining in. And here's the key. Jesus is at home in us, and we in him the moment we believe. God takes up residence within us. He makes his home within us. His abode, his dwelling place is not just with us, but in us the moment we believe. This whole concept of abiding, it is all about location. Abiding equals salvation. Abiding is all about union. It is all about a relationship with God. And here is the thing. He is basically saying to his disciples here, it is an invitation. It's a gospel invitation, not only to his disciples, but to all humanity, to make our home in Jesus. And the way we make our home in Jesus and him to make his home in us is to believe the gospel, to believe the good news, to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, that he is God come in the flesh. Whosoever will confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he is God, and shall believe in their heart that God the Father raised him, Jesus the Son, from the dead, shall be saved. There is this whole concept of union in this word, abide. And Jesus is going through here telling his disciples, I mean, listen to the terminology when we understand that this is what abide means, to be at home in someone, to make one's home in. I mean, Jesus talks about this whole concept, abide in me and I in you, based in verse 4 of John 15, literally, be at home in me and I at home in you. If the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You can't bear spiritual fruit unless you're in union with God, unless you are a branch connected to the vine, and that is salvation. That comes from faith in believing the gospel. You cannot bear fruit unless we abide in him. We are to abide in him, and we are to bear much fruit, because apart from him, we can't do anything. Without a relationship with him, we can't do anything. Nothing that we will do will have any eternal value. If anyone doesn't abide in me, he's thrown out as a branch and withered and gathered and thrown into the fire that's burned. That's the consequences of not making your home with Jesus. It is the consequence of fire. It is a consequence of burning. It is the consequence of not experiencing that union with him. When you abide in him and your home is in him and his home is in you, ask what you will, whatever you desire. He says, and it will be done for you. My Father's glorified by this. Abide, be at home in my love. Let my love be at home in you. I mean, this will bring peace. This will kick fear out the door, according to John in 1 John chapter 4. So abiding is about relationship. It's not something that we have to actively, consciously do every day in order to make it so. We are in him and at home in him by the moment we believe the gospel, and he becomes our dwelling place and we become his dwelling place. We enter into a relationship. We are in union with him, and we are fulfilling his command to abide in him, to make our home in him. God commands all men everywhere to repent and to believe the gospel. We take this initial step by faith. We enter into this relationship. And once we do, there is plenty of evidence, and plenty of fruit that will reveal the reality of the fact that we have made our home in Jesus and he has made his home in us. And we'll talk tomorrow some more about the signs and the blessings of abiding in Christ. Well, may the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be yours in fullest measure. Happy Passover. It is Passover now. This week is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and we'll be celebrating tonight a Passover Seder here in our home, rejoicing in all that it points to, all the revelatory pictures that are in the Seder about Jesus, about Yeshua, about the Messiah, and his finished work in our behalf. And so many of the things that we see that we as people as, who celebrate communion and don't understand the significance of the bread and the cup, well, it's all in the Passover. So we will have a Passover Seder tonight here in our home with some guests, and we're looking forward to that, celebrating again the finished work of Jesus. We don't celebrate the shadows, because the shadow is not the substance, but we do celebrate the substance revealed in the shadow, and that's Jesus. And so just hope you have a great day. Lord willing, we will be back with you again tomorrow.